Okay, we are up to Shvi'as Daf Lamed Gimel, the last daf here in the fourth paragraph of Masech HaShvi'as, as we continue our march, and we are talking about different types of halachas relating to the status of Kedushas Peir Shvi'as, as we started to speak about in the second half of this parak. So we are on Lamed Beis Mabeis, just we spoke about yesterday. We had a couple of the lines of Agadata that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, right? These are the same lines that appear at the end of Maseches Ksubis. That's what they're known for. Why did it come up here? Because the Gemara said the makar for Kedushas Peir Shvi'as, which teaches us, which has many different applications of the halacha. One of them being you can't cut down the trees too early because that's ruining the fruit. Number two, you have to treat it with respect and you have to use it normally. La'achla v'lo li'ibud, la'achla v'lo l'schor, as we'll see. We spoke about the Ramban that counts it as a separate mitzvah of the 613. Pashas, does that not, maybe doesn't mean a kiyam asay, but it means an isser asay. You don't make a bracha when you eat it. At least it's not quoted. So all of these halachas are reflected. So just one fascinating ha'ara. Again, we can spend our whole shir on Chavivus of Eretz Yisrael. Just two notes. One is the I said at the end of the shir, I'm going to mention something from the Minchas Elazar. Minchas Elazar has a commentary here on Yerushalmi. So he notes here that Reb Zeira Avar Yerdina B'Manui. We spoke about yesterday. He went across B'Manui in his clothing. Right, the Marafolda says Bim Malbushav. He somehow went across in his clothing. The Pnei Moshe says Shalohaya Lo B'Malechos Al Mabros Hayardein. He didn't have what to hold on the bridge. He didn't know how to get across. Va'asamei Abegadim Shalo Kedei Lechos Bo. He like took off his robe and he made it into a rope. Kederach Shosin Bechevel Mapa. Umapa lechosbo labra la maboris, like a tightrope. Right? So he did this unusual type of getting across. Reb Zeira. Why Reb Zeira? So the Minchas Elazar quotes. Minchas Elazar quotes that we know the Gemara tells us in Bamitsiya Daf Pehei. Bamitsiya Daf Pehei. Bamitsiya, maybe I'll just read the Gemara that he puts together a couple of stories of Reb Zeira. You know, let's start with the most famous one in the question, right? The Purim Suda, come Rabbi Shach to the Reb Zeira. Rabbi killed Reb Zeira at the Purim Suda. Right? What in the world was Rabbi thinking? Was he just totally drunk? Was he, you know, this is Rabbi. This is not just somebody who would lose themselves, right? So what does that have to do with this Reb Zeira? So if you're looking at Bamitsiya Daf Pehem and Aleph on the bottom, so it talks about Reb Zeira, we know, made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Kisagla Eretz Yisrael, Yosef Mea Tanisa. He fasted 100 fasts. Dilishtakech Gemara Bavlo Amine. So he forgot his Derech Alimud of Bavel. He wanted to have a clean slate to be able to learn the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. So he fasted 100 fasts to forget his learning. Kiechi Dilo Nitradei. Yosef Meach Ranisa Dilo Lishka Rebelezer Bishane. If he fasted another 100 fasts, Rebelezer wouldn't die in his lifetime. V'nafran Alohi Mili Ditzibura. V'yosef Meach Rini Dilo Nishta Be Nura De Gehenim. And he fasted another 100 fasts so that the fire of Gehenim wouldn't affect him. Kol Tzlasin Yomi, every 30 days, Havi Badig Nafshe, he checked how he was doing. I don't know what this means. But he checked how he was doing. Shagar Tanura Salik B'Yosef Begaveh, he turned on an oven and he went and sat inside the oven. V'lo Havi Shalta Be'Nura, and the fire never touched him. The fire never affected him, so he knew he was doing okay in terms of his practice for overcoming the fire of Gehenim. This is Bamitsiya. This is not a Zohar. This is the Nigla. This is Bamitsiya Pehei. Yom Achad, one day, Yavi Rabbanan Eina, V'ichrachu Shakye. One day the Rabbanan looked at him, gave him the Ayin Hara eyes, and his feet got singed. And that's why Reb Zeira throughout Shas is called Katan Charak Shakye, the short one that got his feet singed. Right? That's the story. What was he doing? You see from there that Reb Zeira was over, so to speak, was sholeit on Teva. He was over fire. He was over fire. And says the Minchas Elazar now, Rabba Yada, Sherab Zera Yeshlo Koach Kazeh, Shalo Yeshlo Bo Kilyon Bo Olam Azeh Begufo. He knew that Reb Zera had this power to overcome destructive forces in Olam Azeh. V'yalkarchach Ratzah Laharos Hanez Galui L'chol. He wanted to show everybody that Reb Zera overcomes nature. Shegam Shchita Lo Yeshlo Bo L'Kilyon Gufo. Da'kol Chad K'moa Eish. Just like Eish won't affect him, maybe my knife won't affect him. Reb Zera and Rab at the Purim Suda. Amnam be'ez yishev adas lo yasek ozos lachavera. But he wouldn't do this because ain't sofkan alanes. Right, you're not going to do this at a normal time. Amnam bepurim be'ishnes basim mocho va'arkov. Here he've been afsha, but when he was on a high spiritual level on Purim, he says, "I'm going to show everybody the nes of Reb Zera." Laharas bo anes kenizkar ubeemes b'shana acheres ratzah gam kein l'shoch dolaros nes kazeh. Amnam la ratzah Reb Zera. Reb Zera says, "Don't rely on nes. Don't rely on nes. Kamo b'nes ha'esh lo shalap o shloshim yom." And therefore, it did because he got burned when they looked. Anyway, so that old story there, Reb Zera's overcoming nature. So here too, he went through water. Went through water in some type of unusual way on a tightrope across the Yarden. We don't know exactly what happened here, but it sounds pretty dangerous. So maybe Reb Zera, part of this was Hiriv Lava by Yarden Eretz Yisrael Ki Yada She'esh Omayim Lo Yishlo Tubo L'Chaloso. So Reb Zera had these powers. So maybe this is also part of that he went in a dangerous way, but he wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael so quickly, and therefore he did it. But remember, all of these Chazals are all quoted in the Rambam, right, relating to the sugya that we've spoken about many times over the years, over the months, over the weeks, about the Rambam Shita by Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It's clear from many rayas that the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh against that Megillas Esther. He quotes it in many halachic contexts, but also the Rambam feels the need to quote these Ma'amari Chazal in the Mishnah Torah, in the Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam talks about Gdolei Chachamim hayu menashkin al tchumei Eretz Yisrael umenashkin avaneha umisgalgalin al afara. The Rambam says that the great rabbis used to kiss the dirt of Eretz Yisrael and the stones and roll around in its dust. That's the Gemara we had yesterday. V'cheinu omer chiratzu avadechas avaneha v'safar yichonenu amru chachamim kol. And then he quotes the Chazal from the Nexubis. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael avanosa mechulin shenemar bal yomar shechein chalisi. Remember we had earlier, maybe I think in Kilayim. It was a Kilayim about Tchias HaMesim and Chutz La'aretz and being buried in Chutz La'aretz. There was one day that said it's terrible to be buried there. And oh, we're only good for your when you're dead, not when you're alive. But the other Tanaim said that it's positive to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gilgul of the rolling of Tchias HaMesim. So we had that in the previous parak. But a special schus to die and to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Afilu halach arba amo zochel chayalim abba. So that's what it talks about. Again, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim and Perakei talks much about these Chazals that are quoted. Okay, let's get to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says here, Lamed Beis Mabez, Me'emasai ein kotetzin es ha'ilan b'shvias. From when is there an iser to cut down the trees in Shemitah? What's the issue? Look at the Mara Folda. Me'emasai ein kotetzin. De'la'ach la'am rachmana v'lo lehefsid. Because you're supposed to eat the fruit of Shemitah and not cause it to be lost. V'yavagat de'bishar shnei shavua. Nami asur lehefsid. We'll see this is quoting Tosfos. And even though in other years of Shemitah, we also know that it is asur to just destroy trees, Asur lahafsid, afilu b'matzor, even in a siege, lo hiter akasav rak eitz sheino eitz machal. Right, we will see. That's fruit trees are a special issue of Baltashkas. But again, this is, we're not going to cut down the fruit trees because you're destroying the fruit of Shemitah. So at what point does a fruit tree become ripe enough so that we say you're now destroying the fruit, one is not allowed to do that. Again, the previous couple of Mishnayos spoke about at what stage do the fruit gain Kedusha, right? And therefore, they're ripe enough to eat, right? What was the previous Mishnah? Me'emasai ochlin. When are the fruit? Because if you eat the fruit too early, so we said that's like being mafsid and ruining the fruit, because you're not letting them get to their full ripeness or a stage of ripeness in order to really enjoy it. Those are the previous Mishnayos. When are the fruit big enough so you can eat them, because before that is considered ruining the fruit. Here we're talking about the tree. So when is it, when are the trees, blossoms started to come out that you can't cut down the trees? And again, let me just read it from the Tosfos, right? Tosfos in the sixth parak of Brachos, right, quotes from the Mara Fulda, like, what's the Gemara talking about? When he allowed to cut down the trees during Shemitah? What about cutting down the trees every year? Right, now they're cut down trees. That's the classic Yisodaraisa of Altashkas in Parsha Shoftim. Right, so that's what Tosfos discusses in Brachos. In Brachos, Lamed Here it is in Lamed Vav Amabez. Lamed Vav Amabez. This is quoted there in that Gemara. V'yem tamer b'lo shvi'es nami tepeglei da'asem yishabal tashchis eso eitza. Tosfos gives two answers. V'yesh lomar jelotoin kava. Oh, if it only produces very little fruit, and the tree is more valuable for its lumber than for the fruit, so then you could cut down the tree. Meikra din. Inami mairi, or even without what I just put together, the two answers. One answer is that it doesn't produce too much fruit. Number two, that even if it produces a lot of fruit, if it's still more valuable to you for the lumber than for the tree, then it's okay too. Inami ayri demu'ula bedamim la'asos bimena karos, to make boards. Right? Dilo shayach baltashkas. But if not, there will be an issue of baltashkas. So even in those cases, you can come up with ukimtas, that there's no baltashkas. Like, it's more valuable for lumber, but if it's shmita trees, you got another problem. Shmita trees is another problem, and therefore you wouldn't be able to cut it down mitzad the shmita trees. So that is the discussion. And that's a huge topic, we know, in baltashkas, in terms of any heterum of baltashkas. And even so, we said there is Kabbalistic ideas based on a Gemara in Baba Kama about cutting down fruit trees. And even where there are heterum of cutting down fruit trees, again, it's in the middle of my property, and I want to build, it's more valuable to me to have it away so I could build a porch here, or leaning over to the street, and the fruit are making the street disgusting, and they're not edible fruit anyway. So, well, even with all the heterim, we try to get around it. We try to sell the tree to a guy gardener and then let him rip it out, or to replant it somewhere else. Right? We always try. When it comes to fruit trees, there seems to be a lot of things going on. Remember, one of my great rebbeim, one of the poskei hador, once asked him a question. He says, "I don't paskin trees." I'm like, "You paskin end of life issues, and you paskin fertility issues. I don't paskin trees." Right, there's something there. So we try again, if there's a fruit tree, to try to again replant it somewhere else. So then you don't get into these issues. Okay, because again, it has to do with Kiyah Adam Eitz HaSadeh, a lot there. So let's continue. So the Mishnah says, when are you not allowed to cut down the tree because it has grown and now it would be considered destroying Shemitah? Beishamay Omrim Kol Ha'ilan Mishe Yotzi. When the tree is motzi. She's motzi what? Motzi what? Machlokes achronim here. Machlokes, maybe it has to do with the Rishonim, but the Marafolda says, when the leaves start blossoming out. Mishiyotzi tchilas ha'alin benisan. Rav Chaim Kanievsky here says, when the fruit start coming out. So is it the leaves or is it the fruit? Some trees, their leaves turn into fruit, like a pomegranate. Like its blossoms turn into the fruit itself. But other times you have the leaves and then afterwards come the fruit. So machlokes beishamai, within beishamai, what that means. Some achron in the Mikdash David says, well, maybe this has to do with the discussion of whether the leaves have kedusha shvius. Unedible leaves that grow on edible fruit trees, do those leaves have kedusha shvius? So maybe that's what the machlokes is here about what's yotze, right? Is it the leaves or is it the fruit? Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel either way says that it is a later stage. Hecharuvim mishe yishal shalu. The caribs, when they hang down like a shalshelas, like a chain. Mishe yishal shalu. Right? We ever see the charuv, the buxer that they used to give out decades ago in Chutz La'aretz on Lag BaOmer. They used to give out this hard buxer. It was like from 5 years before, and that was what they could imagine that Rav Shmuel Yochai survived on that all those years. But you see, like it's like a twine. It's like twine to the carob. So Mishe Yishal Shalu, but it hangs down in the chains. Vagafanim Mishe Yigru, and grapes, when the grapes become the size of beans, Giraon, it's like the size of beans, right? The Marafola says, Nasa Kapul. Vazesim Ishianitsu, and olives, when they start blossoming. When the blossom comes around, right? The Marafola again, Mishi Gedala Leinanates. Vishar Kala Ila Mishi Yotzi. And all other trees, Mishi Yotzi, when they start the blossoming out. Good. Let's just finish the Mishnah, and again, we'll make an important comment. And all trees, once they come to Onas HaMaisris, which is a general, as we'll learn in Maisris, when the Chiyav HaMaisris kicks in, whether it's a third grown or so, Mutal Lakotaso, then one is allowed to cut it down. So now, the latest, meaning when is, this is the beginning. Once it reaches these stages, so then it's a, it has fruit on it, therefore you can't cut it down because it's called destroying the fruit of Shemitah. But once it reaches Onas HaMaisris, so that's considered ripe enough to eat, and therefore cutting it down, there's no issue because the tree is, you can enjoy the fruit right now. Again, forgetting the Batashkas issues, which you have to answer, like Tosfos did in Brachas. But at this stage, it is large enough, Mutal Lakotaso. Says the Gemara, again, this, V'kama yehe, but let's just finish the Mishnah. V'kama yehe bezayis v'lo yakitzenu. How much in the, that's separate. That's not Shemitah. Let's wait a minute before we read that. A couple of important points. Number one, Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Shlomo Zalman notes that, our Mishnah says, once the fruit tree gets to a certain stage of ripeness, like Onas HaMaisris, so then you're not, by cutting down the tree, you're not destroying it, because now they're ripe and you're going to enjoy them. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo in Chelek Aleph, Simin Nun Aleph, Os Yudalid wonders, but nowadays, we don't eat fruit so early in its ripening stage. We wait. We wait till they're plump and luscious and juicy. So nobody eats them. Oh, they're a third ripe. Okay, let me get them off the tree. No, we go to the store, and if they're a third ripe, those are the ones we don't buy. Right? It's not ripe yet. Right? So Shlomo Zalman says, maybe, he doesn't answer the question, he says, Sarach Ian. He says, maybe nowadays you would not be able to cut down the Shemitah tree so early, because that's not the normal way that people eat the fruit these days. People eat it when it's much riper, when it's delicious. Again, they must have thought that was delicious too. But are able to have them, keep them, have them later. Yesh ladun, tekiva chebizmanenu halo roim ba'alil. We see, shenishtana hateva, vite'enim verimonim v'chadoma, enam ne'echolim klal ushuma damashir zeb. Again, maybe nishtanu hativim, he says, maybe it used to be when it was a third ripe and people ate them, but nowadays nobody eats them. Af l'nefesh hayafeh, v'lo od elashe mazikim. They also maybe damage you, they're not healthy. Mishum hefsid until a later stage. So he says Sarachian, but he has that possibility, number one. Number two, the other point to mention from the stipler, the Kehilas Yaakov, the stipler we know we have on all of Shas, but we also have in Am Zrayim, in the volume on Brachas, he also has on Zrayim. So there, in Shvius, in Simen Yud Aleph, he discusses how we've had many, let's say the last couple of Mishnayos, and including this one now, we have early stages. We have some fruit that, like our Mishnah says, once the carobs are hanging down, so then it's not called destroying the Shemitah produce, or when the Gefanim get a little size, or in the previous Mishnah. Do we say that the Chiyuv HaMaisris, it seems like, the Chiyuv HaMaisris only kicks in later for certain fruit, and Kedushas Shvius is even earlier. Is that true? Is Kedushas Shvius chal on the fruit even before it becomes a fruit? Like when it's even in very, very early? Onas HaMaisris, we're going to learn, that's basically when it becomes edible. When it becomes edible, that's when the Chiyuv Shuvim HaMaisris kick in on the fruit. But we've had a number of Shi'urim in these last couple of Mishnayos, they're even before that. Even before that. So you get the impression from these Mishnayos that Kedushas Shvius is chal even before the status of a fruit kicks in. But, he says, there's also evidence to the other side. If you look in the Mishnah in Maisris in the fifth parak, he says, you're not allowed to sell fruit to an Am Haaretz once it reaches Onas HaMaisris. The language is, Lo yimkar adam es peirosav yishuelo Onas HaMaisris, lemishin oneman al HaMaisris. Why? Because he's not going to take off Shumas HaMaisris. Velo bishvius. And he adds in those two words. And you're also, it sounds like, once it reaches Onas HaMaisris, you're not allowed to sell him Kedusha Shvius, lemishu chashar al HaShvius. So it sounds like from there that the Shi'urim go together, right? Onas HaMaisris and Shemitah, it sounds like the Shi'urim are together. Mashma shegama iser limkar lachash al shvius humi shebol onas HaMaisris. De mashma de kodem shebol onas HaMaisris less mu kedusha shvius. So what is it? So he says the Mikdash David has a chiddush gadol. He says the Mikdash David Rav David Rappaport, he says, maybe the Isser to be mafsid is even, like, how do you put together the Mishnah in Maestris that we just read and our Mishnais? That's the Stira. You get different impressions. So he says, maybe really the Kedushas only comes up later. But the Armish is telling me you can't be mafsid Shemitah produce al shem ha'asid. Maybe even before it gets Kedusha Shvias, you can't be mafsid it because it's going to get Kedusha Shvias. And says the disciple, I can't accept that. You're not allowed to be mafsid something that's going to become kadosh, but it's not kadosh right now. Right now, it's chul and gemurin. So he says, and there are riyas to this, that can't be. That can't be. So he says, that doesn't work. So he says, the Chazon Ish says, maybe that even before, right, there's kadosh shvias right away. And you have to re-understand that Mishnah in Maestris. When it says velo b'shvias, it's not going back on the previous line of when it gets to onus a Maestris, you can't sell it to someone who's chashan on shvias. It means, you have to add in a few words, you can't sell someone to who's chashan on shvias fruit that got to onus a Maestris, and you can't sell somebody, you can't give somebody shmita fruit when it gets to the shear that's appropriate for shmita, which is even earlier. You have to add in a couple of words, the Chazon Ish says, to that Mishnah. So you just got to add in a couple of words. Okay, number two. The Stipler himself, a little bit later, says no. Maybe the answer is that really it doesn't get kedusha until later. It doesn't get kedusha until the akati ein hashav ein peiros of the Torah's meiser. Mikom akom halokeach vada yamtin atzi yishbashlu v'yavra al mitzvah shumas meisrus. The point is, if it's not really ripe yet, it's very, very early. They're going to wait. They're going to wait to partake of it. So the reason that you're allowed to sell it earlier to somebody who's chashed on Shumas and Maestris, but not later, because Lifne Iver is only if you give them something that they're going to do something wrong with now. But if you give, this is the Chiddush in Lifne Iver, but if you give somebody Shumas and Maestris, a fruit right now, that's not Chayim and Shumas and Maestris yet, only later, that's not Lifne Iver, because they're going to have to wait for something to happen before they do something with it. So lo mikri lifne iver elam ki nosin lo davar shekamoshu achshav roi la'avar bo al mitzvah satorah. Aval davar shein aroi la'avera chishtane bershus halokeach, that's not lifne iver. That left lifne abal karchach, and they have to say there's some type of kvul lifne iver. And that's what he says. Really, maybe it has, I'm not sure if I said it this way or the other way. He says there is kedusha on the fruit even earlier. But if he's not going to partake of it or do something wrong with it until later, then there's no lifnei iver. But it might have kedusha even earlier, like our Mishnayos say. So this is the Stipler and Shvias in Simen Yud Aleph. Let's continue. Says the Gemara. V'kama, says the Mishnah, we're in the middle of the Mishnah. V'kama yehe bezayis v'lo yakitzenu. Says the Mara Fulda. This is not talking about Shvias, but other years of Shar Shnei Shavua, V'kamaye Bezayis V'lo Yekitzenu. How much does the Aleph have to have in order to have the Isser of Bal Tashchis? Right, Bal Tashchis. Also Lichros Ilanos Tovim, says the Ma'ariv Folda. How much V'lo Yekitzenu? Rova, if it produces a quarter of a kav. If it produces a quarter of a kav. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, Akolafi Azayis. No, it depends on the Aleph. Depends on the olive. The Rasilio says it means if you have an olive tree that produced a lot, and now that happens sometimes. And now as it gets older, it's producing less and less and less. So you see it's going down. So there might not be bal tashchis by certain olive trees that you see are heading in the wrong direction because it's going to be destroyed. So that's what it means. I call lofi azayis. Every situation is different. Period. Meima saying kotasin. There's a lot more about bal tashchis to talk about, but we'll have to leave that for now. So the Mishnah said different shiurim for a couple of the fruit, including the charuvim, when they become like chains. Tana Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, charuvim, shilshulan hu chanatan. Their becoming chains, that itself is their chanate, is also their blossoming for Meiser. And whenever they become chains, that determines what year their Tumas and Meisers are going to be from. Right? If they become chains before Tu B'Shvat, so then it's the previous year. Right? It makes a difference, because, right, 1, 2, 4, and 5 years are Meiser Shani. 3 and 6 are Meiser Ani. So it makes a difference what year it is. So when they become chains, they hang down like chains, so that is their chanata for determining the year. Kefanim Mishayagriyu, The grapes, we said, Misha Yagriyo, that meant when they become like the size of a bean. Amar Reb Yonah, Misha Yizchalumayim. What does that mean? When you could squeeze them and a little liquid comes out. When you could squeeze them, a little liquid comes out. That's the shear. Kamadat Amar, where do you see that lashon of Giraon to mean squeezing out liquid? Because the Pasuk says here in Eov, Ki Yagara Nitfe Mayim Yazoku Matar Leido. So you see Yagara is a lashon of the drips of water, and that's where the Mishnah gets the lashon from. Period. Zeisim Mishayanitsu, the olives when they start blossoming. Amar Reb Yonah Mishechnisu Rova. What does that mean? When you're able to produce a rova of a rova of a kav. Rova, when the blossoms that a rova of a kav of olives come out from them. That's how the Mara Fulda understands it. When the blossoms that produce a rova of a kav. So now, right, that's the Mishach Lisa Rova. Look at the first Mara Fulda on the Gemara. Lo she'e rova zesim roi lahachnis min oso hanetz. Elo she'e shir netz she'yagadol mimenu rova kav zesim. Doesn't mean that it has to grow that much already. Just means when the blossoms come out, these blossoms we know will produce this amount. So, ma, rova netz o rova zesim. Is it a quarter of the actual blossoms, rova nates, or rova of the zesim, or it's the shear of a rova of the zesim that will eventually be produced? So Rabbi Yonah lay du nates. Rabbi Yonah says, well, what are the blossoms for? The whole purpose are not the blossoms, right? You also rova zesim. It's all about the olives. So the shiurim should go by the olives, not by the blossoms. It could be enough blossoms that will produce this amount of olives. But the shiur obviously has to be about the blossoms. Amar Reb Yonah. Reb Yonah, once we're talking about olives, so he makes a comment. Ksiv, ki shal zeisecha. Right, the pasuk says in the tochacha that your olives will fall off. What are the curses? What does that mean? So it means, chad letzlas me'ava arbin kayim ba. It means one out of 340, all the rest will fall out. All 339 will fall off, so one will stay. Where do you get that number from? That's the gematria of Yishal. Right, Yishal is 340. So that's an allusion that the curse is that all your olives will fall off the trees before they're ripe and before they're usable. That is the curse in the Tochacha. Amar Reb Yonah. Reb Yonah had a lot to say about the trees and olives. Amar Reb Yonah, ksiv, ki eitz nasa piryo. Right, the pasuk says in Yoel, talking about the future, lo asilavo, it says the tree will carry its fruit. So the problem is, says the Pnei Moshe, why doesn't it say yisa, will carry in the future? Why does it say nasa, as if the past? So magich lo nasa pirya ba'olam hazeh. No, it's just that we're going to look back to say that, you know what, the olives in olam hazeh, they were nothing. Right, wait till the olives in the future, that's going to be, they're going to carry a lot of fruit. And the end of that pasuk, uteena vegefen nasnu chelam. Same issue, right? The figs and the grapes gave their strength. Again, it doesn't say yitnu, it says nasnu. Magish lo nasnu chela ba'olam hazeh. That the only in the future we will see the tremendous potential of these. Like the Gemara says elsewhere, that even the non-fruit-bearing trees are going to bear fruit in the future. There's going to be unbelievable plenty in the future relating to the trees. Am Rabbi Yonah, b'shem Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, hameis b'sheva shnei gog, ein lo chelag l'asil lavo. We're not sure what gog u'magog is. Even in the VM we read it. Some type of war before Mashiach. We hope some of the Achronim say that I think we're Chaim Kadievsky, that hopefully it happened already. Right, Gog and Magog either happen in one fell swoop or over years. We've had enough suffering, Rachmana Litzlan, that we hope it happened already and it's all done. But the Gemara says, Hameis b'shevash ne'gog. If somebody dies b'shevash ne'gog, which the Mefarshim mean, before a lot of the trials and tribulations happen, ein lo chelag l'asil lavo. They'll even might lose something in l'asil lavo because they will not have suffered as much in this world. And if somebody has their trials and tribulations in this world, then they're good to go in the next world. Simana da'achal prut gemaya achel mishtotia. What does that mean? That if somebody ate prut gemaya, if somebody ate that means in olam hazeh, their business, the Mara Fulda. Da'achal scharaso prakmati b'olam hazeh, shiroi lechol, then he'll eat in the mishteh, he'll eat in the big meal. Meaning if you had your difficulties and challenges in this world, so then you'll be able to enjoy the party in the next world. Says the Gemara, Shema Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, really? Really? That's, who says that? Who says that, that you have to, experience that? Od kedun is titova lamadasi. I think everybody has a hope in the world to come. Every time, you don't have to say that they experienced, Shnei Gog. Okay, we're not sure exactly what all that means, but there's a lot of agadata. Rabbi Yonah b'shem Rabbi Chiya Barashi. Asidinein chaveirin lis yageya mi bateknasios ulubate midrashos. In the future, the Chavraya, the Talmidei Chachamim, will go from Shul to Beis Medrash, meaning even in the future, there won't be rest, right? They'll continue growing and growing in spirituality in the next world. My time, Yechu Michael Achayel Yireh Elohim Bitzion. Right, that relates to the last line in Bavli Moed Katan. Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha Afilu Lo'olam Haba. But it won't be a situation of they won't have menucha and therefore they'll be upset about it. They won't have menucha and they'll be happy about it because they'll keep growing and growing in their connection to Hashem. The last line of the Ritva in Moed Katan, Ein la menucha la maba pirish shahochin mi gan eden lekisei akavid umitaylin b'chol mechitzos elyonos v'tachtonos lehanos miziv hashchina. Just like you go from a shul to a beis medrash, you'll go from gan eden to the kisei akavid. And you'll go from spiritual ecstasy to spiritual ecstasy. We can't describe it in words, but there'll still be movement, right? We think that, you know, obviously this world is the Prizdar, and there is not the Prizdar. You can't earn anymore, but we will get the enjoyment, right? The Paris that we earned in this world, we will be able to partake of in the next world. This has to do, obviously, with the large issue. Again, Rambam Ravid, we don't have the time to go into it now, in Hilchos Tshuva, about the next world, the physical existence, spiritual. This sounds like it says going from a shul to a beis medrash. Again, it could be talking about different stages too. First there's a physical, and then there's a spiritual, but great line. Rabbanan de Kesaron Amrin, Ketani Ovdei Kochavim V'chaylosav Shal Nebuchadnezzar, Lochayin V'lo Nidonin. The rabbis of Caesarea say, those who are young idolaters that didn't get to torture Jews yet, right? The chayelos of Nebuchadnezzar and the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar who maybe were forced into it, they won't go to Olam Haba, but they won't be judged in Gehenna. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately, he's the Dayan HaEmes, he is the Tzadik V'Yashar Hu, and he knows exactly what people's schar va'onesh line is going to be in the future. V'yaleinu omer v'yashnu shnas olam b'lo yakitsu, they'll have an eternal sleep. Me'em asai k'tani Yisrael chayin, when do, right, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains, la'olam haba, at what stage does a Jewish baby start earning olam haba? Again, the Rambam says that umos olam also get olam haba, righteous umos olam. But when does a baby? Reb Chia Ruba, Reb Shimon Berebi, Chad Amar Mishi Yivalder, right when they're born. Right when they're born, olam haba. Reb Chad Amar Mishi Yidaber, right when they start talking. Man da Amar Mishi Yivaldu, Yavo V'yagidu Zivkas Olam Nolad Ki Asa. So you see there, Nolad, I'm Nolad. Uman Damar Mishi Yadaberu, Zera Yavdenu, Yisupar. Lashem Ladar, Yisupar. Tani, Peshem Rabbi Meir, Mishahu Yodea Lanus Amen Bebez Akneses. When a Shah starts saying Amen Bebez Akneses, that's when he starts earning his Olam Haba. My time out, what's a remez? Pisku Sharm Yavo Tzadik Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunim. When he starts saying Amen, and this is the Ramah quotes in Arachayim in Hilchas Tvila, in Kufchav Dalid, the Ramah quotes, V'yalamed Bana Vaktanim Shayanu Amen, Kimiyacha Tinogona Amen, Yesh Lo Chelech Lolam Haba. It's quoted in the Ramah, in Arachayim, Kufchav Dalet Zayin, to teach our children to say Amen. Taman Amar, there in Bavel they say, Mishi Imolu, right when he gets a bris milah. When he gets a bris milah, not born and not older, earlier, Mishi Imolu. Nasasi Emecha Afuna. Rabbana will quote just say now, there's the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Rachman al-Islan, I don't have time to read it now, Shulchan Aruch quotes in Ilchas Mila, Rachman al-Islan, if there is a stillborn, if a baby is born, not alive, the custom is, the Shulchan Aruch says, before he is buried, he gets a bris mila, and he gets a name. That's the Shulchan Aruch quotes that. Shulchan Aruch quotes that, could be based on this as well. Rabbanan da'acha amrin mishi yivaldu, the Rabbanan here in Eretz Yisrael say mishi yivaldu when he's born. Let's see on Yemar, ish yulad ba, v'hu yichon ha'elyon. Rabbi Laza Omar, afilu nefalim, even an eifel, as I just mentioned, even a baby who never was alive gets olam haba. Matam unitsure Yisrael lahashiv unitsiro. right? Those who are formed, Unitziri Yisrael Lehashiv. Hadralach Barishona. This takes us through the fourth parak of Masech HaShvius, and Beth Hashem, we continue with Bnos Shuach in the coming Shir.